This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson and Ricky Ricardo with you on this Christmas Eve, filling in for the afternoon, guys. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show.
Want some eggnog?
Yeah, throw it up, 1,000 miles up 95. Let's see if I can catch it.
I got some real good eggnog here.
Are you a big eggnog guy?
I love it. Absolutely.
I don't know if I've
never had it.
Maybe had it once.
Never had it.
Wait a minute, Luke, you've never had it?
Nope.
You have never tried eggnog in a holiday season?
Nope. The name isn't doing it for me. Eggnog, that's not screaming that it's
delicious. It doesn't sound great.
No, have you ever had eggplant?
Yes.
Well, eggplant doesn't sound very appealing, but it's
delicious.
No,
but when you dump it in gravy or sauce and you have a pasta on the side and you bread it a little bit, it's delicious.
Yeah, well, with eggnog, when you put a little something-something in it, it's...
All right, fair enough.
Cheer. It's delicious.
Fair enough, but then, I don't know, I hear eggnog, and I'm just like, I'm good. I'll take a hot chocolate with a little something-something in there.
Hot chocolate with alcohol?
Yeah, you haven't seen that? It's like, I guess they put the Baileys in it or something.
Maybe with now you really threw me for a loop.
See, there we go. We each have something that we got to try.
Holiday traditions. Anyway, what I was going to say is the Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Our question today, did you gain a newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts after seeing the Eagles play without him on Sunday?
Nope.
Currently, 78% are still saying yes. 215-592-9494, once again, is how you join the show. Now, we'll get back to the phone lines in just a minute here, but two pieces of audio I wanted to play for you, Ricky.
All right.
One from Seth Joyner, one from Brian Baldinger. We will start with Seth Joyner off of our Twitter question of, did people gain a newfound appreciation for the starting quarterback? Did you learn something new, or were you surprised in any which way how much you appreciate Jalen Hurts post-Sunday as opposed to going into the game or, any of the weeks beforehand? Well, Seth Joyner was on the morning show yesterday with very strong words for the value that Jalen Hurts brings to this team. Here is what Seth had to say.
I think yesterday was an opportunity, as unfortunate as it was, for not only the local media who had doubts about Jalen Hurts, but also the national media to open their eyes to see just how important he is to this offense. This is what it is. Different quarterbacks mean different things to different teams and different schemes. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what people fail to realize is that, AJ is huge for this football team. Saquon being added to this team is a really big deal. But I don't give a damn how good the two of those play. Jalen is the most important piece to this offense. So people need to stop this nonsense that any quarterback can come in here with this amount of talent, this amount of ability, and set the league on fire, because there's only a handful of other quarterbacks in the National Football League that can do what Jalen Hurts does and add to the running game and the passing game the way that he does.
Now
we can open our eyes, to the reality of what's really going on. Because if Jalen Hurts plays in that game yesterday, the Eagles scored 40 points and beat the damn brakes off of the Washington Commanders. That's just a fact.
Third quarter.
All right, so first of all, if they scored 40 points, I don't know if that would have beaten the brakes off the Commanders. They would have won by four. Yes, I get the time of possession would have been different. But in terms of the appreciation level for Seth Joyner, no-nonsense guy. Ricky, he was having none of it, any of the slander or depreciation of Jalen Hurts yesterday.
Well, but that's been my point all along. I think Seth and I are on the same wavelength. That, and the key word in the Mark's Jewelers question is newfound. No, I've had the same opinion all along of how important Jalen Hurts is to this offense. It's almost like having a high-performance vehicle. Let's say, oh, what car these days? A Mustang, a Charger, you know, that have turbo and have all this power? You know, what good is it if you can't, you know, if as a driver, if you can't handle it, what good is having all that power? So what good is having all these weapons if you don't have a quarterback that can make the best out of them? So, you know, it wasn't that, that's why I keep saying it's not a newfound appreciation, because having
you already knew what you felt.
Newfound appreciation is insinuating that you kind of took him for granted. I never took the guy for granted, because I have seen, you know, up close and personal what the Eagle offense looks without Jalen Hurts, with several people, and it is night and day.
All right, so then let's give not a fully contrasting viewpoint, but just a varying viewpoint here, so to speak, because you just mentioned that what good is having the weapons if you don't have the quarterback to do it. Now, Brian Baldinger, who of course does the Baldy breakdowns.
And he did the game, by the way. He did the national broadcast. He was 3 feet away from me on the other side of the glass.
On radio?
Yes.
So he did the game on radio, and then he did a Baldy breakdown after the game discussing how well Pickett played and whether or not he played well enough with those weapons around him to beat the Commanders. Here's what Baldy had to say.
And then they fourth and seven. They keep it going right here. Hit A.J. Brown on the crosser route. Ball comes out. It comes out accurate. It comes out quick. He doesn't hold the ball. And then you get this. Like, you get this throw. Like, this is a wheel to Saquon. In the fourth quarter, steps up into the eye of the storm and throws a great throw to Saquon. He just couldn't find the handle of it, and it's an incompletion. And then there was this one, as we know, to go put the game away right here to Devontae Smith. Like, there it is. He probably walks into the end zone. He knows it. Probably took his eyes off it, but it was a great throw. But the ball came out quick. It was accurate. He moved the team. I thought, considering he hadn't played in over a year, Pickett played well.
And that's kind of where I was at, Ricky, which is that, remember in the preseason, everyone was saying how Pickett shouldn't even be the backup for this team. It should be Tanner McKee at number two, Pickett at number three. I thought Pickett played like as well as he probably could have. Like, all things considered, he exceeded my expectations. And if you had told me that Kenny Pickett played as well as he did, and I would still have that newfound appreciation for Jalen Hurts, not because of really anything to do with the passing game, but because of how quickly the Commanders adjusted to his Pickett's lack of ability to run the ball, and that affected everything else. That's really where my appreciation came. It was just redirected in a new direction, something I was not anticipating, and that's something the Eagles are going to have to game plan with. I asked this to Jeff Kerr when we had him on earlier. I didn't think that Sirianni, Kellen Moore, whoever's putting these game plans and play calls together, I didn't think they did necessarily the best job altering the playbook once Pickett got in there. It seemed like they were still trying to run the variations of the same offense and didn't really make that adjustment. And I get it's difficult in-game.
In-game.
But you gotta be prepared for situations. Like Hurts could go down at any moment, any given week. You have to have something
now,
ready in the bag if the backup comes in.
At what point was the interception that Pickett threw? It was pretty quickly after, may have been the next drive.
Yeah, that was a bad mistake. But even all that considered.
But like, what I'm saying is, maybe when he throws that pick in the second drive after coming into the game, maybe that made the coaching staff a little hesitant as to make adjustments on the fly, if you know what I mean.
Wouldn't you see that your backup quarterback threw an interception and be like, all right, we got to dumb down this offense, play to his strengths, just get the ball out quick, high percentage play? Like, wouldn't that?
But I thought they did some of that.
Did you feel they did enough of it, though? Like, did it feel enough of a different offense? Did it feel like they were still trying?
One thing Baldy said that makes all kinds of sense in his take there. There were a couple of big fourth down conversions that I thought for sure. What was that, fourth and seven? I thought for sure Sirianni would punt. I mean,
he kept his aggression
right
with Pickett, which I was actually impressed by, and it paid off. I remember I was watching here. You know, you've seen the whole setup we have and our whole game day crew here. It's Angelina behind the booth. I'm watching out in the lounge, whatever. And then Jason Avant, who does our post game show, he got up to go to the bathroom. It might have been the break in the 2 minute warning or some commercial in the fourth quarter. And he kind of thought the same thing, you know, two football guys, me and Jason Avant. He kind of thought the same thing that I was. He was like, they keep trying these first down runs late in the game in the fourth quarter, and it just doesn't work as well with Pickett in there as it does with Jalen Hurts in there. And that was the kind of stuff, like the sequence of play calling, mm-hmm. to me, didn't feel like they changed. It didn't feel they altered that enough. And that's not to say that that can't be fixed now that they have a whole week to prepare for the possibility of Pickett playing. But in the moment, the in-game, on-the-fly adjusting didn't... I would have liked to see a little bit more from the coaching staff.
No, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Mitch in East Windsor has been waiting patiently. What's up, Mitch?
Merry Christmas, guys. How are you guys
Mitchell,
doing?
Mitchell, how are you, buddy?
Same to you.
Good, Rick. Good. By the way, did Aaron Judge accept that invitation from Times Square to drop the ball?
I mean, Rick, I think I texted that joke to Ricky 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me to it, but I was fine. That has to be fun.
Yeah, it's a good joke. I give it to you, Mitch.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of time to talk about baseball. You got to say Eagles. I mean, they're in a whole different spot than say the Jets and the Giants with their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather see Tanner McGee getting there, but in terms of MVP, if Barkley gets that record, you got to give it to him. What about Jared Goff? I mean, with these Eagles and Lions getting these injuries, I think it's really opened up like four or five teams. Well, you got to consider Washington, Minnesota, and Green Bay. It's really going to be some race.
Wait.
These injuries are killing the game.
Mitch, two things going on here. So you want Saquon for MVP, and you're saying who's going to get the one seed or who the Eagles are going to play in the first round? I lost in your second point.
Who can come out of the NFC?
With the NFC, with the injuries. You know, Detroit has been devastated injuries too, and the Eagles don't have Hurts for a long time. In the long future, then it's like, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay
I said the team that concerns me the most out of that whole group is Green Bay.
Yeah, they sure know how to pick quarterbacks, like the Steelers pick coaches. Merry Christmas and everything.
Wait, Mitch, really quick. What is your God-given talent?
What is my God-given talent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Trouble.
What'd you say?
Trouble.
Trouble?
Getting myself into trouble. Father, yeah. I'm retired now. It was good. 36 years at FedEx.
Were you the kind of child that got taken to the principal's office on occasion?
Nothing serious. Just didn't have a lot of common sense.
I got you, Mitch.
Okay.
Finds him.
He doesn't find trouble. The trouble finds him. That's just his natural ability. 215-592-9494. We say a good afternoon to Andrew, who wants to get on here about the Eagles. What's up, Andrew? Or Andre. Andre, not Andrew. Andre. What's up, Andre? Andre. Let's put Andre on hold. Let's talk to Smooth Joe, who's got some pipes of his own. What's up, Joe?
Merry Christmas to you.
I like it.
Oh, no.
Pretty good.
So I'm going to guess your natural talent is also your voice.
I just thought I'd call in since you guys were so happy about the Trace Atkins recorded voice. I thought I'd give you a little chime in with a little something live.
The live version?
Well, you're right. You're right there in that pocket, my friend. I got to give it to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I sure hated to see Jalen go down on Sunday there. It would have been a hell of a SEC battle had he was able to go all the way. Because you got two quarterbacks that come from football colleges.
Oh yeah, from the best college football in America.
Yeah, it had me thinking of something. A few years ago, the Eagles had an exorbitant amount of picks there, And that particular year, I said I would like to see him keep all the picks and use them all with SEC players.
Well,
I think that team.
It only took Howie Roseman, like, what, more than a decade to realize that good football players come out of the SEC, but now he's gone all in on it.
It took the Jalen Reagor pick.
Yeah, for him
as
to be like,
soon
hey,
as that happened.
Maybe we should just draft the Georgia defense. That might work.
Yep.
You listen, you can never go wrong with LSU wide receivers or Georgia or Alabama linemen. And now the new school that is producing, has become a factory, is Ole Miss. Look out for Mississippi with
A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf out of there.
Lane Kiffin is producing pros.
Yeah, and complaining about his playoff standing on Twitter.
And then going silent when Tennessee loses.
Yeah. Joe, what'd you have on the... Sorry, go ahead.
We might even get a future pick out of Norfolk State.
Now with Michael Vick as head coach?
If he can do a little something there, you know.
Well, look, he's following in the footsteps of Deion Sanders. What he is going to find out,
tell you.
What he is going to find out that Deion at Colorado has a much bigger NIL budget to spend on bringing kids to his program than Michael Vick is going to have at Norfolk State to bring in kids into his his program.
By the way, Michael Vick, I saw, was still on the Fox pregame show the other day. So is he finishing out the year there? Is he doing both? How's this working?
Assuming he's finishing out the year there.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, do you have a natural talent other than your voice?
A natural talent? No, not necessarily. No more than working, fixing things. I love to diagnose problems and fix things.
Oh, that's a good talent to have.
All right.
Joe, appreciate the call. Listen, the ability to diagnose and fix things, whether it's something tangible, whether it's a problem with a coworker, being a problem solver, generally speaking.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Overall in life, it's a good skill to have. 215-592-9494. Let's sneak in one more call here. Before the top of the hour, George is in Upper Darby, wants to talk about Jalen Hurts' injury. What's up, George?
Listen, I am so perturbed. Am I the only one? Me and eight guys, they're at my house watching the game that day. We ran that tape over and over and over again on Jalen getting hurt. No one saw number four's hand smashing Jalen Hurts' helmet into the ground as he's going down. 54 caught Jalen from the side, Wagner. And then this guy comes in with a late hit after Jalen's on his way down. And nobody saw that hand coming down, hitting him in. He grabbed it. He pushed his helmet right into the dirt, into the ground.
George, I would assume
he didn't get a penalty flag there because he didn't slide. If he goes in head first, he's fair game. That's the way the refs look at it.
Wait a minute. He did go in head first, but then he came with his hand, too, and smashed it into the ground. You got to see it from another angle. There's four or five angles on that. And I guess the CBS one had the best one where you see his hand coming down over his helmet, smashing into the ground.
George,
it's unbelievable.
George, if you caught it on your DVR at home, don't you think the league office has access to those same angles?
I don't give a damn. I don't believe half that crap, no. Somebody just didn't want to do it. They don't want to, listen, Washington should be penalized, that guy number four. Those guys were dancing and prancing after he got hurt, what they did to him. That was not a clean hit. If it was a clean hit, I would say it's a clean hit. It was not a clean hit. It was done intentionally.
So you think the Commanders were trying to give Jalen Hurts a concussion?
Absolutely. That guy, number four, he was so wired up that game. It was unbelievable.
Well, that was Louvu.
That's
Frankie Louvu.
He was flipping after that. Did you see what he did after that? He was doing dog stance. You know, running around like a dog on the ground on four legs.
George, your line's breaking up. Sorry, I got to let you go. I don't know if I...
I'm looking at it right now. I pulled it up. Louvu comes in and his hand does make contact with Jalen's helmet, but all the force of it is really when he goes to the ground. Once his shoulder hits the ground and then his head kind of whips down, kind of like he gets whiplash as his head hits the grass, that's where the concussion happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't from Bobby Wagner or Louvu.
I don't know if I buy that any of the Commanders defenders, Wagner, Louvu, whoever, are trying to concuss Jalen Hurts.
No, and Ricky was right, where if he goes head first, he's fair game. That's how the refs look at it. Yeah.
To that kind
of. If you go in head first, all bets are off. If Jalen would slide feet first, you know, and there was the one penalty that we thought they were going to get on.
On Kenny Pickett. The guy went, right over him.
But the defender went right over him, and they picked up the flag. If you go in feet first, now, you know, the Ryan Lawrence hit that we saw a few weeks ago, that's totally different. The guy got suspended for the two games. His name escapes me. But Jalen Hurts does not slide, or at least not on that particular play, did not slide feet first. And according to the rules, he's fair game when he comes in, you know, head first.
Yeah, it was Aziz Al-Shahir, I believe, who just leveled Trevor Lawrence, and it was blatantly
that was dirty.
He gets into it with the fans and the other team afterwards.
Lawrence goes in feet first.
Yes,
he is sliding, and that, you know, that's the one thing, and this isn't the first time. It's not the first time that Jalen Hurts has not, you know, slid in feet first and kept himself out of that risk.
215-592-9494. We have 1 hour left to play. Myself, Dan Wilson, and Ricky Ricardo. That other voice you hear is Luke Nichols, our producer. We're on for one more hour here in this afternoon time slot on a Christmas Eve. Believe it'll be Rob Cherry at that time. We'll take you up through the rest of the evening. Coming up next, it's one of the most highly anticipated segments, not just on the afternoon show, but on WIP. Ricky, Luke Nichols is going to take his first ever crack at the top five at five. I look forward to that. And in addition to that, you know, we spent a little bit of time earlier in the show talking about being undisciplined, poor temper, some controversial officiating. Well, we had some of that last night at the Wells Fargo Center. We're going to have to touch on that as well.
Absolutely.
All of that coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Ricky Ricardo, Dan Wilson with you on this Christmas Eve, Sports Radio 94 WIP.